Hello, welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can match with New York City's kind of eligible, and you can hear more about how you can do that at the end of the podcast. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani, and for my listeners who've been listening for a while, you might notice a slight difference in my voice. I do. I have a lisp now because I got adult braces. Yes, you heard that right. I got adult braces, but don't worry. They're in the back of my mouth, so I'm a proper catfish.
Ooh.
It's great. I'm so mysterious, really. Hopefully the lisp goes away very soon, but please bear with me. If you find it hilarious, great. If you find it completely unbearable, let me know and I will just end my podcasting career. But today, we have a really hilarious, amazing guest. I've known her since high school. Aww. And she actually got looped into doing this podcast because I got a DM from her on LinkedIn.
Okay, call me out. Like, yes, I'm a professional. Like, I'm sorry.
It was professional. I can't lie. It was 100% professional.
Thank you.
Why we're here today. Well, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from, where you grew up, where you went to school, mm-hmm. and what you're doing now?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm from New York, born in Queens, raised in Long Island. But when people ask me, I tell them I'm from Queens for the street cred. I went to high school or college or both. College, right?
Whatever you want. Yeah, okay. College for sure.
But. I went to college. Yeah. Yeah, I did college, right? I went to college at the University of Pennsylvania. And I studied philosophy, politics, economics. I minored in film. I obviously went the film route. And right now I am working on a television show as a director's assistant.
Cool. And how old are you?
And I'm 24.
Okay, one question I ask everybody is, where do you like to go out and where do you like to eat? Like, what are some of your favorite New York City spots?
Let's see, some New York City spots to eat. Okay, so I guess it varies based on the cuisine, you know what I mean? My go-to, there's like this Southeast Asian fusion spot called Pig and Cow on the Lower East Side. That's so fire. So good. Like, just hit after hit. So that's that. For pizza, like, if it's like a late night joint, I'll do like Joe's Pizza Artichoke. But then if I'm like going somewhere, I like Speedy Romeo's. That's a place I recently checked out around Clinton Hill. Have you been?
Yes, I have.
Oh my god, that's like truffle, like meaty one, bro. Good pizza, like really good. Let's see, for brunch, I like Cafe Mogador, for like the shakshuka. Mm-hmm. I just like a lot of meaty stuff, basically. You can
Is
redact
shakshuka
it.
Meaty?
Yes, like the merguez sausage.
I don't think there's always sausage in shakshuka.
Oh, I always ask for the sausage.
You always ask for the eggs, bacon, grits, sausage.
Okay. Ariana, let's be professional, please.
Right, LinkedIn.
Anyways, redacted. Everything's redacted. And then for going out?
Going out.
Okay, so going out, I think everyone goes through the Lower East Side. Everyone goes through it at some point.
Everyone has that phase.
You know,
everyone's got to have that phase.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has that phase, and then you like learn, because I used to be like a blind barber, like Hotel Chantal. Like that was, but that was early, like right after college, like right, Ariana, right after college. The only Lower East Side place that I will still vouch for is Max Fish, which unfortunately.
I've never heard of that.
Never heard of it. Oh my God. Like, it is the spot. Like, that place is, I've never gone there and not. It's always chaos, mm-hmm. like in the best way. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone is just like chaotic good there. Like, I don't know.
Is it still open?
Well, I just saw news recently that they're like moving from their Orchard Street location. And I'm like, whoa. And it was really sad because all these like New York people were like, no.
I never even heard of that place.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's really, it was a really fun.
I guess I'm not in the loop. I'm not in the Lower East Side.
Ariana, get in it. Like, come on. No, but it was a fun time. But I think a lot of times I would normally go out around like if I went out in Williamsburg, sometimes I would go to Shimmy's, you know, Shemansky's?
Yeah.
Shemansky's and like Kinfolk. what is that face?
No, I have just never heard it called Shimmy's. Shimmy's? So cute.
Yeah, people used to call it Bar Shimmy's. Yeah.
I did not know that. I have been to Shemansky though. Oh. It's fun.
Yeah.
And Kinfolk. Kinfolk is also a good time. They have good music.
Yeah, they have good music. And then I used to go to this place called Ode to Babel, which is kind of like a late 20s, early 30s spot. So it kind of depends on the energy, you know? And then this other place called Friends and Lovers around like Prospect Heights. And then if I went out in Bushwick, I would go to like House of Yes or Three Diamond Door or Mad Tropical and then end up in Artichoke Pizza.
Right, the Artichoke right next to House of Yes was so Chef's clutch. Kiss.
Like all those taco trucks and like just the late night, just so
the late
good.
Night vibe, wow, take me back, take me back.
Take me back.
We did not know how good we had it until it was all gone.
We were so spoiled, honestly. Like I think of her and I miss her so much.
I miss her too. Okay, well, let's talk about why you're really, really here, which is dating.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. Why are you single?
Okay, mom. Great question. Okay, why am I single? There's like a philosophical answer, I'm sure, but I guess I just haven't found the right person, Ariana. The yin and to my yang.
That's what I'm here to help you figure out, right?
No, yeah. Like what? Sure.
Have you what has your dating history been like? Like what was your first relationship?
Mm-hmm. My first relationship, I honestly feel like I've never had like an official relationship, like this is my boyfriend. I feel like I've been in more situationships, you know? Like I've had people that, like I guess my first situationship was when I went abroad about 4 or 5 years ago, went abroad in Australia, and like that trip really informed what my future, I don't like saying I have a type, but it definitely dictated some of that.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
That sounded so much more ominous than I thought. Truly not ominous in the slightest. Basically, I don't know. I think that, I don't know if I necessarily had a type before, but then you're in Melbourne, Australia, and then you see all the people surfing and they have like long hair and super cool. And they're like, oh, how you going? And I'm like, it's throbbing. It's like that energy.
So, I mean, I can relate heavy. That's how I felt when I went to the UK.
Right? I honestly feel like you just take an American and put them anywhere else that's not America. And I'm like, oh my God, the options.
Literally the options. The like options. We're living in squalor here in America. Squalor.
Help. I'm parched. Yeah, dude. It was so weird. But anyways, okay, so when I landed down under, I met this guy and he was super nice and cool. I met him at this jazz club and then we went on this really long date afterwards, like the weekend after. And then I would sleep over and then go to uni and then go to his place. And I was like, ooh, like I'm so fun and flirty and cool. And then that lasted for a couple of months and like he met my friends and it was a good time. But then I was also abroad and I was like, okay, I also don't really know you. I'm also just trying to like have an abroad experience. You know what I mean? So then that kind of ended. And then in terms of other relationships, I was in another situationship after I graduated it's weird. I guess like it started and ended within 8 months, I guess. But it was like, we were never exclusive or anything. He was a really chill guy. He was a musician.
How did you guys meet?
He's my friend's younger brother. So that's, but it was all, but I, unbeknownst to me, it was a setup like the entire time. Like,
really? Wait. I want to hear about that. How did that happen?
Okay. So I think it was the weekend after my birthday, after I graduated, and I was at their house. So they're 1 and 2 years older than me at Penn. And they're like, okay, let's go to this party, da da da. And then he was like, I'm going to invite my brother. I think you're going to really like him. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I met him and he was like chill, you know? I was like, okay, good vibes, good vibes. But he was really funny and like super like charming and all that stuff. And then I know I like slept over at their house and then me and him shared a bed and then we cuddled. And then after that, I was like, all right, let's keep the good times rolling. And then that was
and it. They rolled.
And they rolled. They were tumbling a little, but they were rolling.
They were tumbling. What happened? Why did that end?
I mean, he's like still me and him are still pretty good friends. Like he's a really dope person. I think that I don't know, I guess it was just never I never really thought of it as like a serious thing, I suppose. And he's a musician. How many times I had him said, which is cool because he's super talented, but like some and I don't know, I just feel like it was just different. Like when you're like, I was working at that time at a film nonprofit and it was just super demanding. I don't know if you've ever worked at a nonprofit, but it's a lot, you know what I mean? And then like our hours were always really different. Like he'd just be at home and I was like, what are you doing? He's like, you know, smoking weed, making beats. And I was like, sick. Like at first, like 10 times you're like, that's so sick, dude. But then like afterwards, you're just like, okay, yeah, sick, cool. Like,
do you think it was because, was he like ambitious? Like what was it?
You know? Yeah.
Like, was it a lack of that for you or was it like?
I think he was ambitious. Like I think he worked hard on his music and his music is good. It'd be different if he wasn't, you know?
Oh my God. It would be literally awful if his music was bad.
Bro.
Like,
that would have been
like,
such
what
a
would
dub.
You do?
That would have
like,
been so bad if he was like, let me play you my latest track and it was like fucking
bad.
Like, I don't even, yeah, that would have been.
That would be a fat L. Honestly, fat biggest L. Turn off.
Or maybe biggest that would have meant off. That I was in love and that I looked past all of that, you know?
That is true. It's a true test of a relationship.
A true test of relationship. But neither of those things were the case. Here we are. No, I mean, I don't know. I, for example, I used to smoke weed. I don't really smoke weed anymore because it makes me paranoid. And I think a lot of times when you're hanging out with someone, they're just like smoking weed and you're just kind of like staring at them.
You're like two thumbs up, like I'm here.
Yeah, like I'm here. You can only do that for so long. And sometimes I'd want to go out for dates, but he couldn't really afford to take me out to dates. And I was like, I don't really want to be fed Ritz and crackers and water.
It needs to be a balance.
There's definitely a balance. Like, we don't have to hike in the Adirondacks and we don't have to like smoke till oblivion for 12 hours. Like, we can get some vitamin D, you know, we can eat some food together, we can go to a museum. I don't know, maybe I'm wildin'.
I mean, there is something just like more attractive about a guy who can provide that for you.
Yeah.
And not to say that like a guy needs to provide mm-hmm. it or like a woman can't provide it either. It's just mm-hmm. like there is something attractive to have anybody do something for you.
For sure.
And, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel you. I feel like I've been in a similar situation where I'm like, I like you, but like, I just don't think we're aligned on like, you know.
Yeah.
Things. things. My.
Things.
Things. Things. Things.
It's not aligned. Stop.
Like, if I needed so any other reason to, like, oh be more God. Single.
Stop.
Let me give her You're, a list. Like,
she's
let's
adorable.
Go.
She's cute. She's hygienic in her dental world. Okay? We stand.
We stand. I mean, what I told my mom was I'm a value investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There we go. Like, we're just
put in the work now.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to get, like, great ROI
Top
on here. The back end.
Yes. Yeah. Hello. We have to invest, especially in this panoramic and this palindrome that we're living in. Like, it's all about investing for the future. So
truly, truly.
Back in 2021.
Well, so have you been dating during the pandemic?
Yes, actually, I've been dating, which is kind of wild. I don't want to go so far as to say I've dated more, because that would be a wild statement to make. But I will say that would be like a wild statement to make. But I will say that I started virtually dating around
late March, early April.
Okay, so you were like early to hop on that train. You were like, all right, virtual dating, let's go, I'll do it. Like
I'm really good at accepting fate. Like if people are like, there's a meteor hitting, I'm like, I have to stay in a bunker. All right, like let's.
You're like, I'll find my way to get my nut.
To get my nut, my nut. No. It was, okay, listen. Okay, let me explain this entire situation. I had no plan on achieving any nut whatsoever with this one chap. It just happened to happen. Like, we were literally just chit-chatting. And then this was, you know, at peak. Because I honestly didn't leave my house till July officially. Like, I was pretty much just in my house. And I started talking to this guy, and then, like, texting, ended up going into FaceTiming, and then FaceTiming. We would just have these weekly FaceTimes from March, I want to say, like, April to June. Like, every Friday, I would, like, put on a little bit of makeup and then, like, go to my room and, like, have my glass of wine or, like, three. And then he would also be there, and we would just FaceTime for hours, and like I really felt like I got to know him. I was like, this is so interesting. Like, I'm really like making this like deeper relationship with someone who I don't know.
How did you guys like make that initial connection? Like, how are you like, oh yeah, okay, let's FaceTime. Mm-hmm. Like, let's, how did you make the transition?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So he was Australian. Well, he still is Australian. And I remember, I think on my Hinge profile or something, because this is also, this podcast is sponsored by Hinge.
I mean, like, Hinge, slide in. I know you're watching me. Come on.
I listen to some of these podcasts. Like, you could be cashing in through these, like, hashtag ads. Hinge.
Come on, sponsors, slide through. My DMs are open for you.
Yeah, like relationships are one thing. Let's invest. Anyways, so I think on my profile, he saw that I had studied abroad. And then we figured out that we'd actually gone to the same uni at the same time. And then like,
whoa,
just so weird. Like, we both went to this university in 2016 and we like went out to the same places. Like, I was mentioning spots and he was like, shut up. Like, I went to these spots and like different restaurants, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I felt nostalgic because I hadn't really talked to somebody from Australia who had that experience like at the same time as me. So I was like, okay, like, let's talk more. And he was into movies and art stuff, and yeah, it was really cute. Like, our second little happy hour FaceTime, we watched a movie together virtually, which was super cute. But yeah,
that's really cute.
Yeah,
so what happened?
Yeah, so anyways, it was really cute. We were dating virtually for a couple months, and then I finally left the house, and then in July I met up with him, and it was a really lovely day. Like,
yeah,
it was so nice. I was with him for maybe 7 hours. It was super intimate, and yeah, it was just like a really romantic time. Like, I don't know.
I need to know, and I know the listeners, like, they need to know. Mm-hmm. Did it get intimate, like, before you met?
That's, you are such a good interviewer. Oh my gosh. Yes, it did. It did get intimate. Like, I don't really do the phone sex, but mm-hmm. phone sex was had, and I was like, whoa. Like, this is crazy.
Whoa.
I know, like, early pandemic just brought out different sides of me. I was like, yeah, let's get freaky through.
How, like, did it transition, like, quickly into that, or what did it, like, was it natural?
It felt natural. Like, nothing was pushed, because I wouldn't do anything that I didn't feel comfortable doing. So when the time arose, I was like, oh my god, it's like happening. Like, I don't know, I'm ready. Like, ah, shit, this is crazy. Yeah, and it was,
that's
just
literally so exciting. Yeah, I don't know, that's like such an exciting thing to happen during quarantine.
I know, like, so many firsts. I literally popped a cherry during quarantine. I was like, sure, why not. But yeah, so that was nice. And then, like, seeing him in person, I was like, this is, like, I already know so much about you, so, like, this is great, you know, like, we could just, you know, spend all our time together. And then we went on a second date, and then that was cool. And then, mind you, like, I make this sound all very fluffy, la la la, but I think there were like some things that I was kind of just like, you know, like, not like but like things that I like there weren't like huge warning signs, but I also should say that he was a stand-up comedian, which I'm not saying that's like a red flag.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying that's a red flag, but I will say that that kind of impeded on certain, like, I don't know. I think that when you're both in creative fields, and I had a job all throughout quarantine, which I'm super grateful for. And I know the stand-up comedy world took a huge hit because who are you performing for? Where are you guys performing? How? What? When? So by the time July had hit, I remember like Trump had released some sort of bill that was getting rid of like all people who weren't like immigrants or something, you know, like I forgot which bill it was, but I remember he passed something and I was like I remember I heard that, and then like I got a text from him and he was just like, oh mate, like I don't know if I can be here like for a long time. But I was, are you fucking kidding me? And like, you know that like the people in Bain and with Morgan Stanley, like their supervisors are going to be like, please, like they're our top analysts, please stay, like they have to stay in the country, like no one's vouching for no Australian stand-up comedy ass in Williamsburg ass, like your ass is gone, bro,
your ass is
like
toast.
Like you're toast, like because I like when he said that I was just like, oh man, and he's a comedian, like he's, there was just nothing.
No sponsorship. There's no visa. But, like,
there's no visa happening. And so I remember the last time we hung out, it was really cool. And he was like, oh, would you be really sad if I had to go back? And I was like, yeah, like that would obviously be sad, but I understand that, you know. And then we were supposed to hang out one last time. Like he wasn't going to leave for a couple of months, but we were supposed to hang out. And then like, it wasn't a ghosting situation, but he like did this weird thing where we were like supposed to meet up. And then he was like, okay, like, tell me when you get here. And I was like, okay, I'm in Brooklyn. I was like at my friend's house in Brooklyn. And he was like, word. And then this bitch doesn't respond for like 6-7 hours. And then he like sends me a message at 9:30 saying, oh, sorry. Like I was on the phone with my dad. I was like, like, yes, I too have 10-hour conversations with father. And like that
like you're on your phone, like
you're right. You
could respond.
You could just, yeah, you know, like I just think that I don't know. I mean, and for me, like I'm very conscious of the fact that for people who aren't American citizens and visa issues, like I don't expect to even be top 20 on your list of priorities, you know, because there's so many things. Like, I know you're calling your dad to talk about, you know, how you can be in this country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With that being said, like, I would just like the due diligence of you just saying, hey, I can't hang. Or, hey, to be honest, this is a really stressful time in my life. I don't think we can pursue this further. Or, like, hey, fuck you, don't message me again, which is not ideal. But and like just
but at least it's something.
It's something, not, you know, radio silence. So yeah.
So like red flags here and there. Just like small red flags here and there.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he was just, you know, when people are bookish and there's like the endearing bookish where I know things but I'm not like saying in a way where it's condescending. Like I feel like he was like, oh, you are in film, you don't watch like 8 hours of expressionist German films for fun. I was like, no.
Oh, no, God.
Really. So, you know.
You're like, I just sat down and watched Octopus Teacher for like
an hour. I mean, I was shameless. I was just like, yeah, I watched the entire 5th season of Love Island. Like, I don't know what you want from me.
Babes.
Like, I'm up to here, babes. Like, the door's ajar right now. So.
I'm getting mugged off. Getting
like you're proper muggy. Like you're muggy.
I live for Love Island. Love Island not happening this summer was maybe one of the most tragic things that happened this year.
I will say Love Island US. Like I know. Like I'm a Love Island purist normally. Like I watched all Love Island UK. I've watched Love Island Australia, which is incredible. Like Love Island USA was like, I will never do this. And then I watched this season and it was actually good.
Really? Like, this season was good?
Actually good. Like when you get past their disgusting American accents, you actually get into it. I was like, okay, yeah.
Oh my god, the Love Island with American accents. Like, I watched the first season of Love Island USA and I was like, no.
Oh my god.
I was like, this is trash.
I know, that's the thing, because everyone was like, the first season's trash, but season two is actually really good. So I finally watched it and I was like, oh shit, it's actually, yeah, no, I'm into it.
Oh my god, don't tell me that. I might need to go and watch it.
It's like, save yourself, but also, it's
oh my god. Okay, well, let us return back to, like, non-fictional. Not that Love Island's fictional, but it's fictional. Yeah. Like, let's return back.
Surreal.
So you had this situationship with Australian man who disappeared because Trump deported him.
Like, whatever.
And you had, like, situationship with man in Australia, and then you had situationship with your friend's little brother. Was there anything in college, like, beyond what you had abroad?
No, I can't think of anything. Like, and it's funny because I've, like, thought about this before, like, wow, like, I feel like I really never had a solid, like, I guess, like, some people that I hooked up with. No.
And honestly, like,
but, like, every,
I think it's, yeah, I think it's just becoming more and more normal, though, for, like, people our age who have never been in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think, if you had, like, been back in, you know, the 80s or 70s, like, when our parents were getting married, and you're like, oh, I'm 24 and I've never been in a relationship, I think people would have been like, oh my god. But, like, now I think it's totally normal.
Yeah, for sure. Like, hookup culture is so prevalent, and, like, all the different, like, I don't know, it's just, it's very fascinating, especially because my mom had me when she was 26, so when I was younger, I was like, oh my god, yeah, I'm totally gonna just, like, get married when I'm 26, like, have babies, that's normal. And now I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's a comment.
Isn't it funny how our, like, barometer for things is our parents?
Oh, for sure.
Like, my ex from England, he was a few years older than me, and one night when he was drunk, he was like, yeah, I want to get married by the age of 28 and have kids, like, really not that far after that. No, and I was like that, okay. I was 21. I was like, sir, I was like, excuse me, sir. This is my first relationship. Like, why are we talking about, like, marriage? Sir, this is a Wendy's.
No, sir, this is a Nando's. Like,
this is a Nando's.
Like, stop it, Ben.
I was just like, whoa. And his reasoning was because his dad was married. Or I think maybe it was like, he wanted to have kids by the time he was 28, mm-hmm. and his dad had him when he was 28. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I get the reasoning, because your barometer is, like, your parents.
Right.
But, like, we're in the 21st century, love. Like,
no, right. We're in the 21st century. We're, like, metropolitan people, so to speak. Because there are also parts where there are, like, all these different aspects, and people are getting married when they're, like, 19. Which, you know, to each his or her or their own, but that's not me, blah, blah.
Hello? My mic. Okay, tell me a little bit about your experience with hookup culture, because you've been in situationships, so you've been through hookup culture. Like, how do you feel? Like, do you like it? Do you not like it? Like, dating apps? Give me the DL.
The whole shebang. Yeah. I mean, hookup culture is cool. I think it's important. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot about myself outside of relationships and, like, inside relationships and hookups and all of those things. I'll preface that, like, while I'm home now in Long Island, like, last year I was living in Park Slope, and I was honestly off the rails. Like, not off the rails, but I mean,
but, like, living your best life.
I was living my best life. Like, I was in my room and, like, was able to just, like, go out everywhere and meet different people and, like, just with, and that was really fun. But, like, a part of me was a little bit relieved when I, like, came back home to center me a little bit, just because I was like, okay, let me figure out what the fuck I'm doing. Because, like, right now I'm just talking to all these, like, people that aren't really, like, superficially, like, they're at, like, it's fun, you know, but it's like, are you really adding anything? Like, am I just exhausting all of my energy meeting so many different people, but I'm, like, not, you know, zen
meeting them, like you're talking on dating apps, right?
Like dating apps. I mean, I was meeting a lot of people in person, actually. Like a lot of those people that I went on dates with were, but this is obviously like BC, you know, like before.
BP.
Oh, BP pandemic, BC corona. Yes, everything.
Oh, BC corona. Okay, before I love that. BC before corona, that's genius.
Before corona. Yeah, like BC back in the day, you could just go to a
bar. Yeah, like fuck Christ, now corona is like ground zero.
Ground zero, and it's insane, and it was just really fun, but I don't know. I mean, so in terms of like my experience, I don't know, like is this like crazy stories or like what? I don't know.
You got any crazy stories for me?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it's funny though. Like, I will say the last time I like kind of went out before like the corona hit, I was like gonna fly somewhere to like go on a first date with somebody, which was like so random.
Wait, what?
Like, I don't know. I mean, okay, so basically, I like met this guy. I saw long hair, and so I like immediately walked towards him. And this was at Soho House, which I do not go to. I just happened to go there on behalf of the art collective that I'm a part of, because I was like doing social media stuff for this DJ set. And then I like saw him and went up to him, and then we were like like talking in each other's faces, like all this stuff. And so then he was like, "Okay, I'm gonna take you out on a date," and I was like, "Oh my god, so cute." And then that Monday, I like went to work, but I was like prepared to go to the date after. So I like randomly looked cute going to work, and everyone was like, "Where are you going?" And I was like, "Mind your business." And then, mind you, like this was like, you remember like when corona was like really hitting, like when like it was like,
yeah,
updates were happening by the minute. So like,
yeah. I know exactly what weekend you're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly that, like March. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Like that Monday, it was so crazy because like we were supposed to meet at Soho House, and then he was like, "I'm so sorry, like I have to fly somewhere for work." I mean, he was flying to DC, but it wasn't like Italy, but I was like, "Oh my gosh, like you didn't know you had a meeting before, like this is crazy." And then he was just like, "Oh my gosh, like I'm so sorry, like do you want to come with me to DC?" And I was like, and I was like, "No, that's crazy." And then he like sent me the flight details, and he was like, "Just say like you want to go." So of course I like messaged one of my friends, like one of my crazier friends, and she was like, "If you don't tell your boss that you're sick and just get on that flight." And I was like, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, okay, like maybe I'm gonna like should I whatever." So then I was like, okay. But then like we were getting like constant updates. So then he was like, "Okay, actually, like, am I gonna go? I don't really know if I'm gonna go." And I think like either he had canceled the flight or whatever. But then I remember like Italy was the first country where like we heard that everything was going back
to shit.
Like it was like, you know, like going to shit. And he was from Italy. So then he was like, "Just kidding, I'm canceling the flight. I'm also quarantining at home for 14 days. And I was just like, "Okay, so like obviously day canceled. Also, like, am I gonna die today?" Like, I was just like so chaotic. And then like he messaged me like 14 days later being like, "Okay, I'm fully quarantined if you like want to come over." But I was like, "Bro, I'm not leaving my house for the foreseeable future."
Damn, have you thought about backsliding on that? Have you talked since then?
Like sometimes, you know, like how Europeans love voice notes, he would like send me voice notes.
Why is that so accurate?
Thing. I mean, like, to be honest, it's like efficient because I get like there's so much to be said sometimes, you know? Like, I'm just like, oh my God.
Literally, foreign people fucking love voice notes.
No, they just love pressing that microphone and being like, "Hey, just wanted to
Honestly, I like it though. It feels more transparent than the fucking like texts. Like American men need to get on the voice note game.
Voice notes instead of texting me, "Haha, that's crazy." Like, shut up. Shut up. Be like Gabrielle, who like sits on his like rooftop penthouse and like sends me beautiful voice notes. Like, hello. Anyways, that was like,
yo. That sounds fucking amazing. 7 million people in the world, and you really think you're going to meet your soulmate at Soho House?
Come on.
Come on. So what else about 2020 has, like, really changed the way that, like, you've dated or, like, your relationships, the way that you perceive relationships?
With 2020.
It's been a fucked up year. It's been a crazy year. A lot has happened.
A crazy year. Like, it's so weird just thinking about different parts of the year. I'm like, whoa, that was so different then. And that was, like, a week ago. But, like, I don't know. I guess, well, like, I think now I've, like, spoken to people for a lot longer, like, on the phone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, texting and, like, getting to know people mm-hmm. and, like, asking questions and, like, engaging with them more before I meet up with them. Even though, like, I haven't really met up with, like, a lot of people or anything like that. But I guess that's if we're talking about romantic relationships. But even in terms of, like, platonic relationships, I don't know. I guess, like, it becomes a lot more clear when there's a global crisis, you know, who you're trying to talk to and who you're trying to talk to. So,
I mean, it's like there's a global crisis. There's a race war happening. Like, everything is like falling to shit.
Let me also say that's a good thing that you brought up about the race war, because that reminds me of something with Aussie boy. I remember it was just like so awkward. Like, I remember when Black Lives Matter was, you know, like, you know,
peaking.
I mean, and mind you, like, it was already pretty much a bad look that I was even talking to a white man. Like, I literally felt like, do you remember The Sound of Music when that, like, I'm 16 going on 17 is, like, talking to the Nazi and, like, has to, like, sing to him in private? Like, that's how I felt. Like, I literally felt like I was hiding.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing. And my friends would be like, are you still? I was like, no, I don't know who you're talking about. But I'd be, like, messaging him secretly.
You're like Cracker Who, like
Cracker Barrel. What? Cracker Jack. Oops. It was like, oh my gosh. And it'd be one thing if he was just Caucasian, because that's, you know, fine. Is it? But like, what it was that, like, during all of that stuff, he was like bringing all this like sad boy energy that had nothing to do with BLM. Like, I don't know, I think he was just like, I guess, sad in general. And like, I remember when I was really grieving, like, over all the things that were happening in June, and it was like so heavy, and he was just like not know how to respond or react, and was kind of being, and then was like, ugh. And then he was like, okay, like, what, you think that I don't care about BLM? And I was like, well, I didn't say that. Also, like, oh God. And then he would like bring up all these like things that he's read, but not in a way of being like, well, I read this, that means that I know more about, you know, this or that. But he'd be like, but of course, like, when we're talking about like Du Bois and bell hooks and this and that, and I'm like that is my biggest, I just hate when white men specifically try to like out black you. Like, they try to,
yeah, what are the rules for a white man trying to date like a black woman, or like, you know,
one of,
yeah, no,
or just a black woman.
Let's chat like white man to a black woman. Like,
oh my gosh, deep ancestral sigh. I don't know if there are any rules. I just feel like to not overthink it, because sometimes people really just like overthink it. I hate when they're like, Illmatic, best album of all time. I'm like, cool. Like, you know, like white guys who like love Kanye West and like hip-hop and rap really try to like up it, and I'm like, yeah, like, yeah, really talented discography, I agree, like, I don't know, next. So don't do that. Obviously, don't use any slurs, because that would be crazy. Insane.
That would be insane.
Don't make insensitive comments about my hair or about anything. Don't use the word ghetto. What else shouldn't you do? I mean, like, things that you can do your research on. Like, don't ask me to represent my entire race, because it's obviously not a monolith. Don't, like, know when to speak and know when not to speak. Because some people really just, like, say things and, like, act like they know everything. And I'm like, dude, no. Like, for me, it's just, like, there are just so many different things. I just wish that we lived in like a post world where it didn't have to be like, oh, I'm black, and like, because I'm a black woman, that means this and that, and like, all the adversity that I faced. Like, not to say that there isn't, because there's obviously adversity, like, everywhere you go when it comes to being, like, othered. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as you're not a white man, you're othered. And then there's, like, the white woman. And if you're not that, you're othered. And then if you're not, like, a white cis person, then you're othered. It's, like, all this othering. I'm like, dude, stop. But I will say that, like, don't fetishize people, because that's gross. And, like, sometimes it's hard because you'll be with somebody, if depending, obviously. Like, this is assuming I'm with someone who's not black. But if I'm with someone who's not black, it's such a weird thing that, like, if they've been with, like, at least one other black person, I'm like, okay. But we don't think about that when people have been with, like, 10 white women, you know? Like, I think it's so funny.
I know! Like, that's so true!
It takes, like, two black women to be like, whoa, they have a fetish. Like, they're, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. I'm like, oh, stop putting me in this position just because you were dating some other black woman.
I know. It's like, it's really hard out here. And it's also like, you don't know necessarily when someone is fetishizing you until it's too late.
It's too late. And oh my God, they come in their kente cloth. Like, when that happens, I'm like, okay, yeah, my Uber is outside. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank God it hasn't happened yet, because I will scream.
Seriously. Okay, so we've been talking for like 2 hours now. Guys, if you, I don't know how long this episode will be, but it probably won't be that short. So if you stuck through it, you're a real one. We're going to finish. Truly, truly a real one. Send me a DM if you listen to this entire episode, because I'll give you a gold star. We end every episode with a segment called Shots, where I'm going to ask you rapid-fire questions. You're just going to respond quick, like, okay?
Oh, God, I'm a Libra. Okay, fine. Yes, keep going.
You ready? Ready to take some shots?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Play hard.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Delivery.
TikTok or Instagram?
Honestly, TikTok. I'm a monster.
Literally, like, my Spotify Wrapped, like, number one artist was Doja Cat. Like, that just means my entire personality is TikTok. So it's TikTok.
Therefore, ipso facto, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ipso facto.
Right.
Okay. Money or fame?
Money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy, always spicy.
Coffee or drink state?
Drink state.
Drinks first.
Ooh, drinks first.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
1,000.
Good. What is your drink of choice?
Mezcal Mule or Whiskey Ginger.
Favorite song at the moment?
Oh, see, fuck. Like a recent song or a song I just always listen to?
Just like, what are you listening to right now?
I feel like I'm always listening to Electric Relaxation by Tribe Called Quest. Like, it's always playing. Or Tyler the Creator, Earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Igor.
Yes.
Favorite dating app?
Hinge, for sure.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
Fuck, I should list the Rock and Row.
Oh my God!
I was so that's no. I already said it. Yeah, Rock and Row, whatever.
Rock and Row. Rock and Row it is. Wow. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for being on. You were an amazing guest.
Thank you.
And guys, if you liked this episode, I'm going to need you to like, comment, subscribe. No. I'm going to need you to actually, though, follow, rate, share it with your friends. That really helps me out. If you're interested in this incredible woman, you can slide into the DMs at drinks.first on Instagram. All of the instructions on how to match with a guest are there. If you don't have Instagram, that's cool. Email me at drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, thank you so much again for being on.
Ariana, you're the best. Thank you. It's been so much fun. Like, I actually love this.
All right, guys, we will see you next week.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen ed provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.